Chapter 54.
Virginia. Justice of the Meek. We are joined by six radical Vox senators who survived the massacre to comprise the People's Tribunal. Several dozen others join, but it will not be a public monstrosity. Likely, Publius wanted to limit the possibility of my allies rescuing me. Whichever of them is alive. Even through the muddle of serotonin, I feel the fear of the final tally. Will I ever see anyone I love again? That's the loneliest thought. Not my husband, not my son, not Kavax, or Niobe, or Severo, or Liana, or even Victra. No one but these fools. They dither first with proclamations of the day's importance, of the seriousness of my ridiculous crimes to impose my will on humanity. Then Publius reads the charges as the robotic cameras zip around for dramatic angles. With 120 centimetres from my face, I listen and try not to smile from the chemicals racing in my brain. You are brought here today before the People's Tribunal so we may adjudicate your guilt or innocence as to the charges of high treason, assassination of Dancer O'Farron and loyal senators of the people, election fraud, bribery, conspiracy to install despotism, embezzlement, and fornication with a known collaborator of the Core Golds, Daxo Au Telemanus. How do you plead? I stare at them, finding it difficult to frown. They hold themselves with such ludicrous self-importance. Canaries pretending to be eagles. No, not canaries. Canaries can smell death coming. They're dodo birds. Silence will not save you from these charges, citizen, Publius says, frowning as an aide walks up and pours him a glass of water. Something moves in the glass. The robotic cameras go dead and drop to the floor, hacked. There's a noise in the back of the court, something resembling a scream. Publius shouts for the wardens to investigate. Half of the two dozen make for the door, calling for backup as if their comms weren't dead. I stare straight at Publius as the weapons fire outside and grow silent. Publius, what's happening? A red senator asks. It's Severo, one of them cries. But Publius knows. He knows all too well, because moving in his glass is a squid. The remaining wardens take defensive positions around the entrance and the senators. I look up at the ceiling as three transparent shapes drop from it. They land beside the wardens guarding Publius and tear off their heads. Blood fountains onto the ghost cloaks. They deactivate to reveal three tall golds in black armour embedded with the bones of complete skeletons. I know their blood-spattered faces. Each one was from House Pluto, the dark brotherhood my brother formed during our year at the Institute. They shared the hunting grounds with me as children and human flesh with my brother. Each was there at Darrow's triumph and survived 10 years in isolation. They are pale and mad from their time in our aquatic prison and laugh at the Vox senator's scream. The wardens at the door are already dead. I tilt my head back just enough to see the rest of the psychopaths enter. 17 remain of the blood-soaked Martian savages that my brother collected for his own personal quest to depose Octavia and reach the highest office in the worlds. Not a one of them is out of their 30s, and it seems a hilarious realization to think that perhaps their time in defeat will be but the footnote of their saga. Lilith, queen of the syndicate, walks at the head of the pack. She pulls off the red face, wig and contacts she wore at the forum, and takes a black iron crown from one of her men and sets it on her head. She walks toward me carrying a warden's head. She rolls it like a playing ball toward the speechless senators. They murmur her name in terror. Several try to flee. She runs a hand along the back of my head as she comes to a stop. Publius, you've been very naughty. Her voice is dead and empty of humour. I gave you that seed and you try to kill me. This is not the behaviour of a pet. She produces a studded dog collar and a leash. Come. Publius does not move. The Vox senators stare at him. You're in league with bone riders, a red cries. Have you gone mad? Publius has lost his voice. Lilith's becomes a whip. Publius, come. You're not a red, he murmurs. Lilith tilts her head. The right hand of the Emperor. A red. Disgusting. Begone, slaver, a blue shouts at her. We are free men and women here. We wear your chains no more. We would rather die than... Lilith lunges in a way the blue probably never thought possible. One moment she is beside me. The next she has tackled the blue and is hacking her face apart with an iron hatchet. When the blue's head is a ruin, Lilith walks back to me and holds out the collar, motioning. Publius, come. Publius quivers, and I feel sorry for him. How this all must have started as a distant fantasy when Lilith came to offer him her services. Closer and closer he drew to his prize, a year away, a week away, a day away, and finally he had power. Now this. That would test any soul. His crumbles. He lowers himself to his knees and crawls to Lilith. She fits the collar around his neck very gently and strokes his face. You will be a good dog, won't you? She says face to face with him. Won't you? Yes. He lowers his head. Yes, what? Yes, Domina. Lilith produces collars for the rest of the tribunal. Her men pull them down to fix them tight. Two protest and are killed. After the survivors are fitted, Lilith tilts her head to the door behind me. My emperor, your slaves await. Small hands applaud from behind me, and the bone riders bend in amorous supplication. Even Lilith.
Well done, my queen. Well done, my friends.
That voice. Its accent is Lunese, but I know it to my bones. Fear eclipses all rational thought. Little footsteps make their way to the front of the court. An abomination wears the face of a small boy around 10 years old. Its hair is flaxen, its face narrow, its eyes reptilian in their cold curiosity. It stands before the enslaved vox carrying several simple plates. I know this emotion, the abomination says sweetly. This reminds me of a novel I've read about a shoemaker in old Russia. It's this moment, isn't it? This moment where you breathe on all fours, your heads privately tucked to your own chins, where the personal myth which you shrouded around your heart collapses under its own weight, and you realize what you actually are. Not weak. That would still give you a victim narrative with enough tragic romance upon which to nurse yourselves. Not average. You are all clever in a rudimentary way. Just smart enough to rise above the sea of human meat to comprehend how insignificant you really are. The abomination touches Publius's head. We all want to be special. It must ache you to discover you are not. He goes to the blue Lilith slaughtered and picks out handfuls of her brains and deposits them upon the plates before setting each one in front of the vox. Lilith falls to her knee and unveils a small box. From the box, the abomination draws an antique razor. The sword of Selenius. He cracks the whip. The natural order has resumed, he says to the vox. Hic sun Leonis, say his men. The son of Augustus rules the Republic. But what is a world with only lions? Do my bidding, and you will be rich and mighty. Slave kings of the Emperor. He points the sword of Selenius at them. Now, eat your supper. Publius is the first to eat. As they cry and chew, the abomination watches and turns to me with familial affection. Hello, sister. So nice to finally meet you.